96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR and Sirius XM 141. I'm Troy Johnson, in for Harold Fisher, and tonight we're going to talk about that new job that you want. You want to make some more money, you want to transition to the next phase of your career, maybe you want to start your own business. Whatever the case, are you prepared for that journey? Joining us tonight will be Sean Talley, a human resource expert with Performance Strategies LLC. You can check out his website at performancestrategiesp-ps.com, and Colleen Keffenhoffen, the author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. She's a leadership and management skills expert. You can check out her website at bouncebackhire.com. Welcome to the show, both of you. Colleen, are you there?
How are you, Troy?
Thank Excellent.
You for having me.
Glad to have you. And, of course, Sean in studio with me. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
We are excited about this conversation because I know people are itching to figure out what do they do next. First of all, let me give out the number for those that have that are I know are going to have questions. 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. So let me ask the both of you, you know, folks have made it through to 2014. A lot of resolutions have been made. Some people quite actively think about their next career, their next career move. Where am I going to go next? They don't want to get complacent, but other folks languish for long periods of time in jobs that they don't really care for, don't want, or maybe they're just afraid of moving on. Let's get started. Let's have open up people's minds and start with some thoughts on maybe why you should be considering moving to some other.
Well, the first thing that I would say is you should treat your next job transition in terms of a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So as you mentioned before, people will have a plan to work out and get in shape. And you're not going to just get in shape because you think about it.
Right.
You're going to get in shape because you create a plan to make that happen. Your career is the same way. And any job that you're working in or any job that you're aspiring to, it should be part of an overall plan.
Mm-hmm. And what do you say as well on this, Colleen?
One thing would be to think of your current job as a stepping stone, because even if it's not your dream job, it may be that there are aspects of that job, you know, paying your dues, as they say, that will help you to get the next one. And I think it shows a strong work ethic when you're willing to do some things that other people aren't willing to do, and you're willing to stick it out until you get that next job.
You know, this is an interesting situation because here in the D.C. area, there's so many people that work for the government. And, you know, I kind of, in having conversations with people, it kind of feels like they got the good government job and they just stay there. And some people, you know, kind of make their way through the government. But many people are like, I got the job. I'm just going to stay here. But they may be missing out on some opportunities. You know, if they have a game plan, they could work on that.
Absolutely. Another thing that I would add to that is you talked about people languishing in a job. So one of the things that I talk to people about is making sure you focus on your passion, not your likes, not your interests, because sometimes your likes and your interests, frankly, won't be a feasible career opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But focus on your passion, because if you're doing a job that you're passionate about, then your entire orientation toward work changes.
Sean, talking about passion in the workplace, is that possible?
It works for me.
Most people say they hate their jobs. We're going to talk more about this. And we also want you to get your questions in. 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. We'll have your calls coming up next right here on 96.3 WHUR and Sirius XM 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on 96.3 WHUR and Sirius XM 141. I'm Troy Johnson, in for Harold Fisher, talking about your career, getting your game plan together so you can make that next transition to the next big job, the next big move within the company that you work for, or maybe branching out on your own. We've got Sean Talley with Performance Strategies, LLC, and Colleen Kaffenhoffen, author of Secret Your Boss Is Not Telling You. You can call us now at 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. Got a couple of people on the phone lines already, and we'll jump to them first. Let's start with Reggie tonight. Reggie is calling us from Richmond. Reggie, how are you?
Yes, good evening. Real quick, when is the age limit too old to be looking for another job? And I'll hang up and listen.
When is it too old to look for another job?
Reggie, this is Sean. Never forget, employers pay for skills. That's what people want. So your age is typically going to be irrelevant. So don't let that stop you from moving forward. As long as you acquire the skills that are necessary, that's what employers will pay for.
Well, Colleen, do you feel the same way?
I agree. I would say skills as well as enthusiasm, and as you had said earlier, the passion, because that's something that you can't teach. When I was interviewing managers and supervisors and CEOs for my book, Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, I had a number of them in one form or another say, I would rather have somebody who is high will and low skill as opposed to high skill, low will, if I had to choose one. And, of course, ideally you want both. But if somebody's teachable, trainable, and coachable, that stands for a lot.
Hmm. You know, that's, I think it's an interesting question that that the caller asked, because we're in a situation where there are long-term unemployed people who constantly are filing. You know, they're applying for jobs online. They've probably got it down pat by now. The suit is right. They probably coach themselves quite a bit. But you know, you kind of hear on the backside the dark side of trying to get a job, where some companies just are not hiring people that are of a certain age. Is that really the case? Is it an ugly secret that's not really out there? What's your take on that?
So you mentioned about applying for jobs online. And so one of the things that people need to understand is it's possible to outsmart applicant tracking software. So most companies out there, they have this software that essentially, when you submit your resume, mm-hmm. there isn't a person that's reading this. Mm-hmm. There is software that's actually tracking the keywords that are within your resume. Mm-hmm. And so what I encourage people to do is, when you're putting your resume together, make sure you have the keywords, the industry terms and phrases that are relevant for whatever it is you do.
Right.
What will happen is, when the HR person that's receiving it, they're going to get a list of all the resumes that are, say, 90% hitting the keywords, 80% keywords. And those are the resumes that get read, and those are the people that get contacted.
Wow. Just that simple. So really understanding the job description that you're going for is the key if you're doing it online. We're going to have more of the conversation with Sean Talley and Colleen Kaffenhoffen coming up in just a few minutes. And, of course, you need to call us right now, because I know you have a question. 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. If you're on the line, don't hang up. Daily Drum continues on Sirius XM 141. Jeff Brown is coming up next with A Quiet Storm. I'm Troy Johnson, in for Harold Fisher. Have a great night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, SiriusXM 141. I'm Troy Johnson, and for Harold Fisher, getting the dream job or branching out with a new business in 2014, if these are things that may be on your to-do list, listen up. Tonight we're going to help you with a game plan to achieve those goals. We're talking with Sean Talley, a human resource expert with Performance Strategies, LLC. Check out his website at performancestrategies-ps.com. And Colleen Kaffenhoffen, the author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You. She's a leadership and management skills expert. You can check out her website at bouncebackhire.com. You can also join us as well nationwide by calling us at 202-319-7810, 855-288-4876. Colleen, you know, the title of your book is very interesting, Secret Your Boss is not telling you. I want to know what my boss isn't telling me. That's certainly what I want to know. What are some things that people would potentially be surprised that that their boss, their fearless leader, isn't telling them?
Well, you and I, Troy and Sean, we've been talking about enthusiasm and passion and how important that is. And at the top of the list, outside of the obvious biggest frustration of bosses, which is not showing up on time, excessive absenteeism, the biggest one is subversiveness, negativity, lack of buy-in. The person who is the chronic complainer, I call them the water cooler instigator. And the third biggest pet peeve is drama, the gossips, the tattletales, what I call the pot stirrers, because these people become, and you two have probably had experience with these individuals as well as your listeners.
I was going to say, did you come by the station earlier today? So those are the things to look out for.
One of the biggest things that they do want on the flip side is somebody who is a proactive problem solver. I would say first a team player. That's probably the first thing that I heard over and over. A team player, somebody who's courteous, who shows respect to everybody, somebody that gets along with others, and then a proactive problem solver. Because what a lot of employers told me, whether it's interviewing someone for a job or a promotion, or whether it's somebody they've already hired, they're thinking, how is this person going to make my job easier? How are they going to make me look better?
Very interesting. We've got a bank full of phone calls. Let's see if we can talk. I think we lost Monique. Did we lose Monique? We've got her. Let's talk to Monique. She's calling from Washington, D.C. A very interesting question for Monique. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Excellent.
Before we start, I was just going to ask, can you put me back on hold? For some reason, the station I'm listening to is now playing music, so I just would like to hear the response. I don't know what happened.
All right, Monique.
So with respect to interviewing or looking for a new job, and, you know, you try to be transparent and honest and open and professional, what do you do with the prospective new employer where you need to use your current employer as a reference, and it's just a very harsh reality, but you and your current manager simply do not communicate well, just do not, you know, just don't get along well. What do you do in that situation?
So a couple things with that, Monique. The first thing is distinguish between an employment verification and a reference. So, yes, your new employer is going to want to know where you worked, how much you made, name, rank, serial number, that sort of thing. But very rarely do you have to use them as a reference. A reference should only be people that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt are going to say good things about you. So typically, again, learn the language there. If it's an employment verification, that's all you have to do. They don't necessarily need to be your reference.
Okay. I always thought that when you give someone a reference, that it has to be your current manager, your current supervisor. Like, I always was under the impression that it had to be the person that you were, under.
Like a direct supervisor? Is that what you're thinking?
No, not at all. And if they want to know who your direct supervisor is, that'll say so somewhere in the application. But typically, when you put down references, they typically say that they want maybe two people that you have worked for. So hopefully, somewhere in your past, you'll have a former supervisor that you can trust to say some good things about you.
Yes, that I can satisfy, but I was just worried about the current situation now. But the past, yeah, that's no problem. So thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, Monique, thank you. Good luck.
Oh, thank you.
All right, let's take another call. Let's talk to Andrea in Fairfax. She's got a question for us tonight. Andrea, hello.
Hi. I'm sorry. I need to hear the response because I don't
sure,
have
sure.
Unfortunately. But I'm in a situation where, like, my situation is working with the federal government and I'm miserable. It's to the point that I'm on medication, seeing different doctors, and I want to be out, and I've been trying to get out for, like, the past 3 years in terms of applying to other positions. And just want to know, what kind of advice do you all have? I have some interest in different businesses, but there's nothing bringing in like a profit that I could live off of. So.
Okay, so that's a typical question that people come up with, and it's no different in the federal government or the private sector. Essentially, the best way to speed up any process is you got to get referrals. You got to get referrals. So we talked about references before. We're talking about referrals now. So that's why you use things like LinkedIn. Find someone who works where you want to work. Find someone who might know someone that works where you want to work. People that are human resources professionals, we love to get referrals, and that always speeds up the process because we love to offer a job to someone that someone else will vouch for.
Okay.
Sounds like the light just came on.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I have gone through that process too, but it's just been bad. But I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Colleen, would you like to weigh in on Andrea before we let her go?
Sure, I would weigh in on that. I think if you can get referrals and have them post to them online at LinkedIn, because oftentimes they will go to LinkedIn before even interviewing you. I know a number of managers have said to me that they do Google prospective employees, and they'll often say, I know I'm technically, legally not supposed to, so I have somebody else do it. And they will often have somebody who is younger, who's very familiar with the internet, who will be researching you and just anything that you have posted. And one real quick thing that I want to say is when you do go for the interview ahead of time, research the company on the internet, do your due diligence, go to their website, because when you interview with them, they want to know that you specifically want to work for them.
Mm. And what would be some key things that you would want to know about that potential company that you're working for? Just to zero in.
I would first want to know just the simplest things that are on the website, because what a lot of employers are doing is they're doing the phone screening first, and they'll tell me that they'll say to the applicant, oh, and if you have any questions, please visit our website at blah, blah, blah. And they've said it's amazing how many people, when they actually find out if they went to the website, admit that they didn't, or when they ask questions that would be right on the homepage, they have not, clearly they have not been on the website. Mm. And capitalizing on what Sean had said about the keywords, a number of people have told me that they look for specific job titles on the resume. So, for example, if Andrea is looking for a job and the company she discovers she wants to work for, if that job title is healthcare administrator, then customize her resume so that the objective says healthcare administrator.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Andrea?
Yes.
How's that sound? Sound good?
That helps. Thank you.
All right. Good luck on that and get a new job. Off the medication, too. All right. Let's talk. I do want to talk about that. Andrea seems to be hesitant. You know, it's kind of, I want to get out. She's been there. She's been languishing with that decision for the last 3 years. How do you know when it's the best time to leave a job?
I would say the best time to leave a job is when you realize that it's not doing anything for you anymore. Mm-hmm. So, again, all this is going to go back to what your career plan is. I always say there's no such thing as a good job or bad job per se. A good job is a job that's helping you progress toward your career plans. Mm-hmm. A bad job is one that is not. So I used to do human resources work.
Let me interject for 1 second. So I think maybe people's viewpoint on what a job is wrong.
Exactly.
People are thinking the job helps me pay, I get a check and I get to take care of my family. Mm-hmm. But maybe shifting your goals to, hey, these are career goals. I'm trying to continue to move up the chain to generate more income and to take care of my family. That slight shift in viewpoint and trajectory could mean all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. I'll use kind of a specific example that'll be obvious. There is a local big box retailer that actually pays almost 100% for tuition reimbursement. And so I did human resources there for a couple of years, and I had several individuals that were getting law degrees, getting master's degrees, and guess what? Some of them were the best employees because they understood that this job was helping them accomplish their career goals.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, I know you want to weigh in on that as well. I feel like I don't want to feel like you're being left out, Colleen.
Yeah, I would say just what Sean was talking about, you know, be thinking what your long-term goals are and what can you learn from your current job, even if, like Andrea, you know, even if you are in a rut, you know, what is going to help you that you're doing now for the next best job? And I'll also say in terms of how do you know when it's time to quit?
Mm-hmm.
I was in a job that I did not like, even though it paid very well, and 1 month after my 31st birthday, I was diagnosed with colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So when it's starting to affect your health, life can be short, and it's time to move on. I like to say work is a four-letter word, passion isn't.
Mm-hmm. All right. Very interesting. Let's get Sophia on the line tonight. Sophia calling from Calvert County, Maryland. She has a question for us. Hello, Sophia.
Hi, Harford County.
Oh, Harford County. Okay.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Excellent. Good.
My question is, when you have a degree, how do you get that experience? There's a lot of places where, like, you might have the degree, but it's hard to get your foot in the door to get that experience. What do you suggest to do in that case?
Yeah, that's a tough one sometimes, Sophia. So sometimes you're going to have to think outside of the box to obtain the skills that you need. So what I talk to people about is depending on what it is that you need to gain that experience in, sometimes you might need to do an internship, paid or unpaid. Sometimes you might need to volunteer. Whatever it is, again, I don't know the specifics of your industry, but you can obtain those skills and experience whether they're in a paid or unpaid capacity.
So my interest now is to switch into the medical field.
Okay.
So from the IT field. Hi, Sean. I know you.
Oh, is this? Okay. Hey, Sophia.
my interest is to switch because I've been always trying to get into the medical field. So it's like I don't know how to go about it. You know, I have that first step, but it's like how to go about it from there.
Right, right. Well, specifically, and that's a big jump, obviously, going switching those types of fields. But again, what I would say with that is obviously, you know, assuming that you've obtained all the credentials and different things that you need, the other step that you need to do is you got to network. So as we talked before in terms of getting referrals and that sort of things, there are so many ways to get your foot in the door. But a lot of it is going to be dependent on obviously having those exact skills, getting a referral or two. And we're not going to lie and say sometimes luck doesn't help either.
Mm. All
and
right.
I'll talk to you tomorrow as well.
All right.
Thank you, Sophia. Colleen, let me ask you this. Let's flip the script on a little bit different turn on what Sophia was kind of doing. What if you have a lot of experience but don't have a degree?
I would play up your strengths. Tie in your strengths to whether it's wanting to be in the medical field like Sophia or whatever it may be, tie in your strengths and your work experience. Because I think a lot of people would say that when all is said and done, most of what they've learned has been in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
There's just experience that you can't get from school alone.
Excellent. We're going to have more with our experts tonight, Sean Talley, Performance Strategies, LLC. You can go to his website, performancestrategies-ps.com, and Colleen Keffenhoffen, author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, leadership and management skills expert. Her website is bouncebackhire.com. We're going to take a quick break. More coming up with the Daily Drum right here on SiriusXM 141. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM 141, HUR Voices. I'm Troy Johnson in for Harold Fisher. We're talking about getting you ready for the dream job, the next phase of your career, maybe transitioning to a business if you want to do something different. And we've got Colleen Keffenhoffen, the author of Secrets Your Boss Isn't Telling You, and Sean Talley, a human resource expert, joining us tonight. with some excellent insight on this conversation. Colleen, I want to ask you to chime in about LinkedIn, and then I want to bridge to something else. A lot of people may be familiar with the website LinkedIn. It is, of course, another social networking site that really is about networking from a career standpoint. Tell people about it. Maybe they know about it. Maybe they aren't using it correctly. Maybe they're just piling up friends like they're on Facebook. And just give a little detail on what they might be missing out if they're not using it correctly.
Well, I have actually gotten speaking engagements from people who found me on LinkedIn. They had typed in certain words on Google, and that's how they had found me, and they specifically referenced my recommendations from business associates. Mm. So it doesn't have to be that when people go on LinkedIn, it's necessarily a referral from their current employer. I think that was maybe Monique who had asked that question. It could be friends, it could be colleagues, people that have worked with you that can vouch for you. So I think it's a really positive resource in terms of networking and branching out. And you never know who you know that knows somebody else. And they also have some get-togethers in various cities where you meet face-to-face. And I don't think there's a substitute for that.
Mm, excellent. Sean, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I'd absolutely agree. I mean, again, this is a digital world now, and you'll be left behind if you're not paying attention to things like LinkedIn. So if you've, you know, take my word for it, if at this point in time you've kind of sworn it off, or you've thought it's something like Facebook or something like that, it is not. Even for those people that are job seekers, there's actually a job tab of it. And so at least once or twice a week, I'm not looking for a job, but I get people communicating with me, mm-hmm. reaching out to me and asking me if I'm interested in jobs. So that's even a better case scenario. But you certainly need to get involved with LinkedIn.
So there's the balance between to do and not to do. Having a online presence can be very beneficial from a job seeking standpoint or positioning yourself in your career. But at the same time, you have to be concerned about the private aspect of your social profile, right, Colleen?
Yes, I have had some managers
I could hear it
tell
in your,
me.
I heard it in your voice. Yes,
I've had some managers who have said, and young people themselves who have raised their hands in my seminars, and they've said, Colleen, I had somebody, I was ready to hire him. He seemed like the perfect person for the job. He'd been through the office interview with other people, HR, sounded great. And then they'll say something to the effect of, something in my gut just told me to do a Google search or see what I could find online. And I specifically remember this one gentleman saying he happened to find somebody's Facebook page. And the profile picture, the guy was completely drunk, as well as other pictures. And he said to me, you know, what somebody does in their personal life is their business, but it's a judgment issue in terms of what they post online.
You know, I think you make an interesting point about that, because it is, you know, it's your information that you've provided to people, or provided for the world to see, or you think your friends. But at the same time, I think what seems interesting to me is the disconnect that people have between their social media profiles. Okay, you had a night out with the boys or the girls. You had a good time and you posted some photographs, but it's your page, so you can monitor that. You could take those down after you had that night. Right? I mean, are people just forgetting about that?
They really are. I've done speaking at colleges and universities, and I will say, be careful what you say online, because once those words are out, they're hard to take away. And I'll say, you know, employers do Google you one way or another, and their eyes just get as big as saucers. So I always say to them, before you post something online or a picture, be thinking, if an employer of my dream job were to see this, would I be okay with it?
Another thing to think about, and this is a harsh reality here, recruiters are looking for a reason to disqualify you, not qualify you.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, what social media represents is another data point. And it's much greater than any other data point that we've ever had. So we realize, as recruiters, we realize that you're going to tell us the things that we want to hear. We know that you've probably gone on Google and researched interviewing techniques. We know all that. But we get that data point from a social media site, and that really can make the difference in terms of, okay, what are we really seeing with this person? Sometimes it'll be something that will be positive. A lot of times it won't. So you really got to think that these companies are looking to disqualify you. There are tons of resumes that you're getting for a single job, and you have to determine who is the best. So if there's anything on your social pages that would possibly disqualify you for a potential position, you're well served to take it down.
No more drunk selfie photographs. Make sure you do that.
Or make your pages private.
Or make your – that makes sense, too. So it is the gift and the curse. Let me – just a quick question for both of you. So some type of social media profile is going to be the norm in terms of getting a job. I'm not talking about Facebook, but things that accentuate your abilities, that's going to be the norm.
Absolutely. I mean, again, like I said, it's a data point. So it's a data point that you can use in your favor.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you might not. So, for example, when you're applying for a job, you have to answer the questions the way they want you to answer them. When you present, say, your LinkedIn page, you can present yourself the way you want to present yourself and highlight all the strengths and weaknesses that you have.
Gotcha. Now, let's move on to something else. I had a couple of questions that I thought would be interesting. Colleen, let's do this one. Quitting your job and starting a new business. You know, some people are to that point where they're like, hey, I've been doing this forever. I've identified maybe a business that I'd like to move out on. How do you make that transition?
Do your research ahead of time. You've heard the saying, don't quit your day job.
Yes.
I think it can be beneficial, if you're able to at first, to start that as a side business, see how it goes, do it kind of as a hobby, and if you're starting to make money from that and that's going well, maybe do that a little bit more. If at all possible, I would say ease into it, but do the research first. Is there a market for what you want to do? Do you have the skills? Do you have any potential clients already in place? Who's your competition?
Mm-hmm.
And once again, how are you going to stand out? Because whether it's looking for a job or starting your own business, most likely whatever you do as your own business, you are going to be looking to get job after job after job in terms of people hiring you from your business.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Another thing that I'd add to that is, even though it's something that you may want to do, obviously, when you're starting your own business, I've done that myself, but there's a lot of other things that go into running a business. So I'm an HR expert and career coach, but I also have to learn accounting. I have to learn marketing. I have to learn other business things to make sure that that's part of running a business. So you got to be aware of those things as well.
And what about, I hate to say it like this, but what if it doesn't work out? You know, what if you are a business owner, or let's say the business worked out, it had its run, and you want to get back into the job market. That void between your last job and owning your own business, How does a potential employer look upon that? Do they look upon it positively or negatively, or how does that work out?
My experience with that is that it's not the employer that looks at it negatively. Typically, it's the person that's coming back into the workforce that's used to having a certain level of autonomy,
mm-hmm.
that's used to making a certain amount of money. but then they're coming back into the fold under another organization, and it's a tough transition for them. So as long as people are willing to understand, okay, I'm going back and working for someone again, it's typically not a bad thing. In fact, it's a good thing because it shows a level of initiative that a lot of candidates don't have.
Mm-hmm. Colleen, before we get out of here, I do want to ask this. People's expectations when they're looking from a career standpoint or maybe that new job, when it comes to salary, our favorite part of the whole equation, where should people put their expectations, especially in the climate that we have, the environment that we have, where, you know, the president just speaking the last couple of days of the State of the Union, saying that, you know, salaries have been stagnant in the United States for the last 20 years, for example. There really haven't been a lot of increases. Obviously, those after we went through the economic situation that we've been through, a lot of people hung on to a job, but they really weren't making all that they should be. In a quick synopsis, give me your thoughts on that.
Research online, typically what that job pays for. What does that job typically pay in terms of salary, and at how many years?
All right. Sounds good to me. That was to the point. Colleen Kefenhoffen, thank you so much. Authors of Secret Your Boss Isn't Telling You. You can check out her website at bouncebackhire.com. No, thank you. And also Sean Talley, Performance Strategies LLC. You can go to his website, performancestrategies-ps.com. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Daily Drum. We had a great program. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow night with another show. You can reach me at Troy_Johnson on Twitter, WHUR.com, or Facebook. And don't forget to tune in to NBC4 every Wednesday on the 4 o'clock news. I'll have the talk around town. Now stay tuned for the Hang Suite right here on SiriusXM 141. Have a great night.